Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 73 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is supported solely by our patrons. You can become a patron today at www.patreon.com/grills. I am the Jen and I'm here with my co-host, Linda.
Hey.
And September, also known as 9 of 12.
Hi.
Hello, everyone. So, here we are, brand new week, brand new year, all that stuff. Linda, what have you been up to?
Well, I just watched the Netflix movie Bright that everyone was talking about. Very good, especially if you are into like D&D and stuff and you like elves and orcs and all that Tolkien thing, but set in modern day. It's really cool. I really liked it. Let's see. I finished. Dun-dun-dun. My Bulbasaur.
Oh my gosh. It's got the thing, the vine whips.
It's really ridiculously
That's
cute.
That's adorable.
That's ridiculous.
So the next one I'll be starting on is Ivysaur. And then I started reading a book called The Devil in the White City. Which is basically about H.H. Holmes, the like first American serial killer, that kind of coined the term. It's like, it also has one of the builders of the Chicago World's Fair, who apparently, I don't know if this is just in the book or if it's, actually like historically accurate, but apparently like he and H.H. Holmes like looked really similar to each other. So it's very interesting. It's going into all the sorts of little nitty gritty details about that time and that person and him like preying on the masses. And then I also made a robe because I'm a crazy person and I didn't have enough projects.
I gotta say, it was weird. It sounded like you were gonna transition into the next thing you were making, and you went and talked about a serial killer in the middle, and I didn't know where you were going with that.
I'm a very well-rounded person. I like making things and reading about serial killers.
All of these things are okay. I accept all of this. Oh my gosh. Ember, what have you been up to?
Well, I'm really proud of what we did at Streamathon. We raised like $120 some odd, and like it was only 2,000 overall, and there were what, 27 different streams. So like our first time, that's awesome.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and I know at least one person threw some bits at me and signed up to be an organ donor. And Gina, my friend who was on with us, was very happy with the experience, and we're staying in closer touch now than we have in a while, and she's asking me about nerdy things. By the way, if anybody wants to buy like an 80s Galaga machine, I know where you can get one. What else? I played some Worms WMD with part-time gamers. Holy cow, that's fun. It's turn-based, so I could do it, even though it's combat. It's kind of like Angry Birds on acid, and it's so cute and funny that like it defuses all the rage inducing moments. So I had a load of fun with that. And oh, I forgot my picture. I want to show you a picture. I'll go get it and I'll show it to you. Jen can do her update. I'll be right back.
All right, yeah, I've been busy. That put it mildly. So I've been playing a lot of PUBG. That game is way too addictive and it's just silly pants. I just want to like play it all the time. The Streamathon was a lot of fun. I had a really, 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 really good time. It was absolutely fantastic. I was really excited to raise some money. I did a couple of streams with Ventura and my dude, and we, we did a stream in the morning and then we did one in the afternoon, and that was just, it was really cool. It was, we had a lot of fun and yeah, raised a couple $100 and that's, it feels good to do something like that at the start of the year. I did finish watching season 4 of Black Mirror. Of course I loved it. Of course I'll have opinions on it and talk about it on my own streams and stuff. If you want to talk to me about, listen to me talk about Black Mirror, I could go on for way too long about everything to do with that show. I did read, issue 1 of Rogue and Gambit. I am delighted by it and I can't even believe, like, it's like my childhood favorites. And like as a kid, Uncanny, like the Uncanny X-Men animated series, what is what got me into all things. I really feel like that's honestly my first interaction with nerdy material, to be perfectly honest, because I have very distinct memories of being in first grade and me and my friends like playing, like basically role playing things based on that show. So Rogue and Gambit were like my original, Rogue was my original favorite with Gambit, the two together. So doing another, doing a series of the two of them together is just like the most ridiculous nostalgia thing for me ever. It is really super cheesy, but that's how it has always been. And I kind of, I love that. Awesome. I am basically, I'm doing all the Marvel stuff so I can get excited about Infinity War. That's basically what's happening. I'm reading Vision. I'm rereading Vision, which is also a really great book. If you've never read Vision, the one that was put out like last year, it's or maybe it was 2 years ago now. Super good. Highly recommend it. So they, anyway. And as far as your comment on Bright, I know you said you watched Bright, Linda, and what's really exciting is I heard that they actually already greenlit a sequel to it.
They did, yes.
Which
they
is did. Crazy. Like,
I'm actually so
well received.
I'm really hoping that it's in the same universe but a different city. Like, I don't think it's going to be, because I think Will Smith and the dude that played the orc are both going to be in it. So I think it's going to be them again, which I hope they don't just do a rehash. I want them to do new things, which is why I would be really cool if it was in, you know, different city, same universe. So it's like, well, they mentioned like Miami. Well, what's the culture like in Miami? I want to see what those orcs look like. I want to see how those elves act. I want to see, you know, the mitigating, what humans have to do to mitigate. So
I think I really liked it too. Cool. Rob and I did watch it and it was a real good, like, buddy cop show, but in, you know, a different universe. I think they still got a little room to stay in the same city for a while and expand on the culture parts we did see.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it does have a danger of becoming chips with fairies, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd care. I kind of feel like I'd be okay with that too, to be honest. But that, I don't know. That's just me though.
So this is awesome. The other thing I wanted to show you. I got this for Christmas.
Yay.
It's the coloring book.
It's a coloring, and it's like really intimidating. I hadn't touched it. I also got like all the colored pencils. But I mean, you look at these pictures and they're incredibly intricate. And for our audio listeners, it's like World of Warcraft adult coloring book. And I was like, holy, they should have numbers on all those little bits. Like, I don't want to screw up. I feel like I'm going to need a reference. Like,
yeah.
To look at.
I haven't had a chance to color mine or any that are completed, but I have the Star Wars adult coloring book. I totally support adult coloring. It's good for you.
I did color one.
It's a freaking Murloc.
It's therapeutic.
Oh, God.
Coloring is therapeutic.
It is. No, it really is. It's ridiculous how calming it is to like just color, and satisfying too. It just feels good.
Which, and Murloc's awesome. So color forgiving. I didn't have to worry about a reference so much because they come in all different colors, right? And I can just get creative with it. So.
They don't come in different colors. They come in very specifically only 2 colors. And no. No, it's really, it's just nice to have that freedom because it gives you just as much, enough like rules and boundaries to make it so that you can focus on coloring, but then just enough freedom to also be able to like color it however you want. So it's, oh man, coloring books are the best.
Which, by the way, Ember, I'm going to be a nag. How is your sketches coming?
I've done a third one, but it's like the Ankh, so it's kind of cheating. It's not like it was hard.
That's okay. You just do it. You got to keep doing something. I'm guessing you're forcing yourself to engage in artistic pursuit.
Yes, you missed this. I tried to commission an artist for a tattoo I want to get as a goal, and it's a tattoo with all the sigils of the Endless. On the front of my other thigh, like reflecting them at the same size as my Gallifreyan one with the family names. So if I do each of the sigils and I use hexagons, and I've got 7 of them, I can do Dream in the center and the rest around it in a similar layout to my Gallifreyan tattoo. So the artist couldn't do it. And I really, I mean, finding another artist that I know that is that familiar with the art and my connection with it, I decided to try and do it myself. So I've got Despair's Ring, and for Desire, I've done a heart, and it has, like, facets as if it's made of a gemstone that's cut.
Oh.
And I've done the Ankh for Death, and then she died, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
That's weird. Like, this within, like, the next day after I drew it. And so I'm not sure which one I'm going to do next. I think Destiny. I think I'm going to do a book. So.
Good.
But
awesome.
I just promised to, like, nag me to do this thing because I'm good. Terrified and challenged because I'm bad at drawing.
No, you have to do things and then you get better at them. So, awesome. Yay. Well, I believe that means it is time for the Geek Grapevine. I have... So I know I put a couple articles in here, so why don't I start with one of mine, because I probably put a couple. Oh, maybe not. Oh, look, there's several other ones. Never mind. All right. Ember, is that first one on you, or is that you, Linda?
No, mine is the 1, 2, 3, 4th one down.
Okay, got it. Yeah, all right, okay. Ember, you want to tell us more about how about what's happening to Grom?
Yeah, so this is really nerdy, but for old nerds like me, we remember this all very well, all the browser wars, right?
I vaguely remember that. I mean, I was a little bit younger, but totally.
And I've been watching this with Chrome, and there's, you know, this tech article about Chrome turning in to the new IE6. And, I mean, it's not just about it taking over the whole industry, but the on-purpose, like embedded pages using prioritized bits of code that only work in Chrome. And I can't believe they didn't learn this lesson. It really seems to me against Chrome's mission statement. But I've been watching it happen for years as I develop web pages. My husband's a programmer. He's been learning apps. And, like, stop. They're diverging from supporting web standards. There's no good reason to do that that isn't evil.
And that's so the thing is that I would love to use Mozilla Firefox. I've always been pro Firefox hardcore because of the fact that they are all about one privacy. And that's very important to me. That was their original mission. I don't know if a lot of people remember that, but that was really the big thing that set Mozilla Firefox apart was their absolute commitment to making it so that you could maintain your privacy while you were, you know, doing stuff on the internet. And some other things too, but the functionality, it's true. I have to use Chrome. I can't not use Chrome. And it sucks because Firefox actually released an update that actually is absolutely incredible. And I would love to keep using Firefox, but everything in my life requires Chrome. Everything runs best on Chrome. Everything interacts directly with Chrome. Chrome. I have to use it at work. It is what it is. And I don't know. It's interesting.
And conflicts seem to be specifically happening with competitors, which is also alarming.
Yeah.
Anytime anybody has anything that is monopolizing or, you know, or that pervasive and there's no alternative, that's no bueno.
A lot of my friends are like, you know, we accept our Google overlords. And I'm like, but do you really? That's,
I mean, it's the ABC company.
Yeah.
They only own everything. It's fine.
I mean, for lots of things, great. But then they start doing stuff like this and stop building out fiber.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of things. It's scary. It can be really
I should have seen it come in early when I couldn't use Safari functionally anymore. When Safari was the first to go, I should have known.
Yeah, you can sort of use it on your iPhones.
Well, that's the thing is I used to have like an Android browser or something or whatever was keyed into my phone, but I have Google Chrome on my phone. That comes standard now on most of the Samsungs that you're using Chrome on the phone too, which is, it's everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. Interesting. Let's fear or discuss or... I don't know. We can crawl under our beds and hide. I don't know. I need the internet. I need all the things, so I don't want to. I have to just deal with it. That's the thing. I got to live with it because that's why the internet is important to my life in every facet.
Yeah, it is, and it is too. Like, even if you're not a streamer, like it's a lot of people. I think I talked about this last time. There's teachers that give homework where you have to have the internet now. And it's like, oh boy.
It was just crazy because if you think about it, back in the day, even in my time, while I was still like going through K-12, there was still situations where kids didn't have computers. Mm-hmm. And so they could go and type them up at the library, or they even accepted things if they were typed on like a word processor. And then in extreme conditions, if the family didn't have any access or whatever, you could still submit handwritten papers. Yeah. That doesn't exist anymore. That's a joke. Like that is absolutely not allowed. Everybody's got the internet. I saw Posh. Everybody's got the internet. Everybody has to have it. I mean, at work, we rely on it for everything. In fact, it was funny. The internet went down and I was like, oh, cool. Did we go home?
Yeah.
We can't do anything. There's literally nothing I can do. The phones work. That's great. I can't do anything.
Well, watching Linda do her nails made me want to put some lotion on my hands, and I had this posture.
I'm doing my half moon manicure. I'm cheating and using Band-Aids to get the half moon shape. But
that's not cheating. It's called using effective tools.
Or hack. It's a hack. Yes.
Yeah, it's a nail hack. I'm down. So yeah, so I will say, all right, moving on to a couple things that I threw in here. So Warner Brothers appoints new head of DC Films. We're all super surprised. So it's Walter Hamada, actually, which is interesting because he was on New Line Films as a production executive. And that was the division that did It and The Conjuring, which is interesting, especially because of how well received it was. Hate that it's like it was well received as a movie, and yeah, so it could be really, really interesting. I know he worked for TriStar and Columbia before too, so he's definitely got a good pedigree, I think. So here's basically the rundown of what this is going to affect. So so basically John Berg and Jeff Johns, they're going to, let's see, they're going to be, Johns will still be with DC Films, but Berg is going to be working for Roy Lee, which is It, Lego Movie, and that stuff. Interesting. Okay. Harry Potter, let's see, so from Courtney Valenti is going to go from Harry Potter. She came from the Harry Potter series, and she's now the president of production. So again, another series that is successful, so that's cool. I don't know. It's really... So the other interesting thing, too, is that Hamada is also going to be overseeing any Warner Brothers comic book movies outside of the DC canon, too. So it's not just going to affect the DC comic book movies, but basically all comic book movies Warner Brothers he'll be in charge of. So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
That should hopefully add some continuity. Because if you're seeing all of them, overseeing all of them, not seeing all of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I also think that hopefully some fresh blood from something that is performing well and actually resonated well with people will hopefully bring in... Wonder Woman was so good. Let's just carry that torch, please. because I know... What is it? Wonder Woman 2 slated for 2019, late 2019. I know.
How late?
November.
Okay, because they have to.
2019, not 18. 2019.
I was going to say, they're going to be fighting with Marvel, but they always are fighting with Marvel.
I mean, to be fair, it's going to be fighting with Marvel. Marvel put out there, I don't know if everybody remembers, it was 7 or 8 years ago, Marvel put out that schedule, and they were like, here you go.
Yep.
Then you got movies until 2027. Here they are.
Get ready, everybody.
Awesome. And then people get pregnant, and you have to wait an extra 2 years for the Wasp. Not bitter. I know it sounds so bitter. Like, good for her for having a baby, but also
my movie.
Also my movie and my character I love. Anyway, so yeah, so interesting thing there. Interesting where they brought him from the horror films, which I find particularly interesting because one of the biggest things too that a lot of people complain about with DC movies is just how dark they've been. That's kind of interesting too. But that aside, hopefully it means good things. So we did get a confirmation that Game of Thrones season 8, the last season, will not be airing in 2018. I don't think very many of us who are fans are really all that surprised. It's going to be coming in 2019. They didn't specifically state when, but it will be in 2019. And again, not surprised, but I'm okay with that. I'll wait an extra year to have them do it right. It's the last season. Give it to me. give it to me the way it needs to be done, and don't rush
like
it.
Forever.
It is. Oh, it is forever. It is officially forever. I might actually die of my inability to watch my Game of Thrones. it's rough, man. That is like the worst cliffhanger. I won't spoiler and go into stuff for people, but whatever. Go watch Game of Thrones if you haven't seen it. Whatever. Even if you didn't read the books, go watch it. It's a good show. And even if you don't get into all the intrigue, there's something for everybody. You got intrigue, you've got naked bodies of all genders, and pretty much there's action. I don't know what else you want. Go watch it. and then wait a year and a half with the rest of us to actually see the last season.
Yeah.
Oh goodness. All right, Linda, I think this next one was yours.
Yes. It is from the, hold that up so I'm not misquoting. But it is from Studio Ghibli, who is the animator who worked on Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle, and Ponyo.
Oh my god!
What? Mary and the Witch's Flower, which is coming to theaters on like the 18th, and I'm so excited. It looks so pretty!
I didn't even hear about this. How did I even know about this?
I'm so excited. It's like, the main character looks like Ponyo and, Kiki from Kiki's Delivery Service had a baby. She's adorable. And it's just, it looks like it's gonna be a lot of fun, and it's based off of a book, which is always, you know, their best things are based off of books. I think most of their stories are, but anyway, it's basically, this little girl finds this magical flower that gives her powers for a night. And it's the shenanigans that happen from there.
Yay.
And I am just...
Shenanigans.
I am just so looking forward to it. And I think I may see if which theaters are playing it near me.
So it's like limited release, though, unfortunately. So, yeah, you're going to have to look.
Yeah.
The link in the show notes, this link has a place where you can search your zip code to find the show.
Yeah, it's Fathom Events is hosting it, so I am super looking forward to that, and I really hope it's in a theater near me.
Looks like I have one. I have one theater playing it at 2 times on the 18th. All right, now I know what I'm doing on the 18th. Hooray! That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ember, is this you?
Yes, of course.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, for all of us sand fans out there, the girl who the visual image of death from the Sandman series of comic books was based, Cinnamon Hadley, has passed away. She had colon cancer, and she did a fundraiser, and she was in remission, and she came out of remission, and it got her. It's a really interesting story. I mean, Neil had his own ideas in the notes about how she should look, but Mike Dringenberg knew this goth chick and said, hey, can I, like, use you for a comic book character? And she, years and years later, someone was, like, showing her the comic. She's like, hey, that's me. Like, she didn't know what comic it was in. And there are actually a couple, I think two different images of her in the series where they actually drew over a picture of her to make it. I mean, she really is the image of death. There's been a lot of stories over the years about, like, wow, she did this or that or the other thing. But this is the truth. This is... Neil Gaiman had tweeted about it, referring to her as giving death her face and her smile.
And it is uncanny. Like,
yeah.
It's Bridget so looks like her.
Nailed
yeah.
it with the little smile. But it's that's awesome. Article. It talks about her.
The article is awesome.
In a way that, you know, I relate to when we're putting that shit together ourselves. And,
And that's really unfortunate. Yeah. That's really unfortunate, but this is a really interesting article. So this is a really awesome, actually, quite a bit of really interesting information.
Yeah.
Huh, well, we'll have it in the notes. That's really cool. As far as the article goes, this is sad about the passing.
Yep. Thank you, Cinnamon. Bye-bye.
Well, ladies, we're going to talk about New Year's Revolution. Grills, ladies, whatever. We're going to talk about year's resolutions. Super right. timely. Obviously we're talking about it because it's the beginning of the year. So just like off the jump, before I dive in, I just want to know, Linda, do you do resolutions?
So back when I was younger and, was like, everything's going to be awesome forever. I would do a couple of big resolutions for the beginning of the year. But as I've kind of gotten older, I'm going for smaller ones. Like this year, my New Year's resolution is to lose 10 pounds because I can do that. If I happen to lose more than that, great. If, you know, it's something I can accomplish and I can do. And the rest of it is just, you know, they're goals that I already have, like doing the live streams more often and, you know, making, trying to donate more of those to charity and that kind of thing. I try to make them achievable.
I like it. I think that, like, it's interesting you mentioned, like, they're kind of goals that you already have, but maybe you just reaffirm them a little bit.
I think
we naturally think about it a little bit. Ember, are you a New Year's resolution setter?
Nope.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I didn't think so.
I do. I mean, I'm more prone to do that kind of thing in May.
I can see that.
New Year thing.
It's really funny. I do mine this time of year, but for a completely different reason, but also for a pagan reason. it just happens to be around New Year's.
But more of a any time is a good time to start something. I don't want to fall into the trap of, because there's always pressure. I don't like that part. Like, what's your New Year's resolution? Like, people, they're the kind of thing I would resolve to make a change in my life are too personal for a casual conversation. And I feel like the bandwagon, the tendency that people get into this time of year, they're asking, like, ooh, what are you? I'm like, nothing. Like, I will share all kinds of things on the internet. I will post when I'm at the gym to try and get some feedback that's positive and help me stay on track mentally and emotionally. But it just, I don't know. Something about doing it this time of year for that reason isn't good enough a reason for me.
Well, the wheel of my year is December, the beginning of December. My birthday is the beginning of December. So I always use the month of December as a very reflective time. And then naturally right after that, after I've done some reflection about my previous year, I kind of set the intentions for my next year. So I don't know if they're like officially resolutions, but I just happen to be kind of reassessing my life at this time. Which is, again, it's not because it just happens to be this time of year.
Now is that normal for normal? Is that a thing that pagans do? Is they use their birthday as kind of their beginning of the year, or is that just something you do?
Well, it's something I do because my theory is that everybody. The cool thing about regardless of your faith, everybody has a cool holiday that it belongs to them. It is their birthday. Mm-hmm. I am one of those people that I'm super hardcore about birthdays. My friends' birthdays, I absolutely don't let birthdays go by. If I live near people, right now I don't live near enough of my friends, but I'm the one that will go and make sure that they have a cake made for them and has their name on it. Cause there's something about like having a cake with your name on it that like just, it just blows their mind. But it's your birthday. It's your holiday. But for me, it's just really looking at it like, okay, I've had another year that passed. I just look at it in that way. And I probably because again, my birthday is happens to be at the end of the year going into that time, going into Yule anyway. I think it just naturally works that way. Maybe why I focus on it so much personally. That's interesting.
As a solitary practitioner to,
yeah, exactly.
To do it that way. I know most traditions tend to use the, you know,
the spring,
the year, the nature thing, and use Beltane as the new year. And in my house, like, we save our Christmas trees and other people bring them to our house, and we usually have a big fire around Beltane, and most people that come aren't pagan or anything, but they know they can bring their tree and watch a spectacular fire. And I kind of end up, because I mean, it's also you're sitting around a fire with a bunch of your friends thinking about the year, and you're getting rid of the Christmas tree and getting rid of like the old year in a more traditional calendar sense. And so that kind of works out, you know, kind of like we usually end up having one, around Halloween. And there have been a couple of times where it's just like, well, people hanging around probably be into this. And they'll like bring up like, hey, who'd you lose this year? Or who did we lose this year that meant something to you? Like, we'll talk about, you know, do that kind of pagan, like passing while the veil is thin, saying goodbye to people that had died during the year. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a, and also the whole, like, stuff you want to get rid of, it's a good time to do that. Like, write it down.
Oh,
shit,
yeah,
you want done with it, throw that right in the fire, right there. But I gotta welcome anybody to do that at any of my fires.
I think it's also just very cyclical. Like, that's the thing about the pagan tradition is it really, well, you know, again, it depends on your particular practice. And again, I am a solitary practitioner. I don't have, it's just me on my own. So that being said, there's something really satisfying about it just being a cycle, and there's not really any real starting point. So that's, you know, I guess it's just kind of that time of year for me is kind of where I've set it naturally. Mm-hmm. And I think it really started because like about 3 or 4 years ago, probably more than that. It was definitely more than that. Is when I had like my total my quarter life crisis, and I like wrote this thing about like what a poopy face I was and how I've accomplished nothing and where I thought I was going to be at 25. Like when I hit 25, like it just was I was like, oh my God, I've accomplished nothing that I thought I'd accomplished by this time. I'm a giant piece of garbage. I've accomplished zero in my life, which is like absolutely not true, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've gone back and like read that same journal page and I'm just like, God, Jen, really? Really? You know? But you know, that's one of those things where I find it interesting. You said like, you don't want to do it because you want to be able to start anytime. And Amber, that really stuck out to me. And then Linda, you're just talking about what you can accomplish. And I find that really interesting. I think that reminds me of just a conversation that Chris Hardwick just had on the Nerdist, actually. And actually, it's funny because it's something that Bill said on TMS, too, on the morning stream. And they were talking about rather than necessarily just making resolutions, but taking the approach of taking the opportunity to sit down and just write down what you accomplished that year and reflecting on what you had accomplished over the year. And I said, well, I wonder how it would feel if I did that. So I did. And it was really, really therapeutic. It was really interesting to reflect on how much, because I looked at it and I feel like in some ways 2017 was like a void for me because it was pretty much entirely swallowed by really strange occurrences and also getting divorced. And it was interesting that aside from all that, I would look back and say, that's all that happened. But I actually did a lot last year. I did a lot. And it's interesting how we don't give ourselves credit for it unless we see it on there black and white and like, okay. And it actually gives me some hope for maybe making, you know, I don't know. It just gave me some interesting perspective.
Yeah, I have a blank journal that some years ago I read some self-help book and it was, you know, setting goals and blah, blah, blah. So I wrote down all these things I wanted, like concrete. I wanted to do these things. I wanted to get LASIK surgery, save up and do that. I wanted to do, you know, things I could accomplish. And then I kind of like just put it somewhere. A couple years later, I was like, oh, and I looked at it, and having written it down, it stuck somewhere in my head. There were things I couldn't do. I can't get LASIK surgery. After that, I had an autoimmune flare-up, and I've been told I can't have it. Because if my immune system decided that was an infection, it would just freak out, attack my eyes, I go blind. So I just can't have that. It wasn't something I failed to accomplish.
Yeah.
And I had accomplished all these things on that list, and I was like, well, write some more down. Like, where am I now? Where am I? And I put it away for another couple years. And it's just, it's this unconscious thing, and every couple of years I'm cleaning out that closet. And I come across it. It's like in this weird cubby. And it's kind of, you know, just like this very random, loose way of setting goals and keeping track without it's something I'm stressing out over and looking at every day and reminding me or anything.
That really reminds me of the thing that I've been doing every 3 months, actually ever since, I think it was Loon who brought it. Was it Loon that mentioned it? I don't remember. Maybe I mentioned it. I don't know. I found it. I know that one of our very first episodes, many, many, many episodes ago, we talked about level 10 life and that being a really interesting way to evaluate your life so that it's not so... Because I think sometimes what we do is we look at the problem areas and we're like, oh, I need to be healthier. So it's all completely wholly focused on that one thing. And if it's not in that category, then you didn't accomplish anything. And it's like, okay, that's not our lives. Our lives are so much wider than that. And level 10 life is really interesting because you basically evaluate your life on a 1 to 10 scale from all different categories, financial, emotional, spiritual, families, friends, work, enlightenment or improvement. Basically, you change out those categories, obviously, as appropriate for you. But you basically, every 3 months, you check in and see where you're at. And it was really interesting to me to see, and as I've been doing it for about a year and a half now, and it's kind of interesting to see how much improvement there is in one area and to feel good about that and say, okay, look, I've made some really good improvements there, but it also lets you focus on things that maybe you didn't realize are important to you that you are lacking. And I know for me, part of that was realizing that my spirituality has pretty much been non-existent for months. And then the other side of it is, having people that are humans that I know outside of my work within a 500 mile radius. That would be the other thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then also the fact that giving back, that's why the DC Streamathon was such a big deal to me, because I realized that I used to be very active in giving back and volunteering. And quite frankly, I know everybody says, I don't have time. I really just don't have time because my health needs to be a focus. I don't have time to commit to volunteer blood drives and volunteer to register voters and volunteer in the way that I used to. For different things. So I legitimately don't have time and I need to be able to fit it in where I can. But that is definitely an area that I hadn't realized that I was missing. I was missing that part. And, So anyway, it's just a really interesting analysis to kind of like look at your life that way. Did you guys know how old this is, by the way? I totally assumed that this was like some Western, like, oh, New Year's resolutions. That's not the case. Apparently Babylonians used to do New Year's resolutions.
Wow.
Like they made promises to the gods at the start of each year that they would return borrowed objects and pay their debts and basically make these like intentions at the beginning of the year. So basically they would resolve to do these things to their gods at the beginning of the year. So New Year's resolutions, really old. Yeah. Romans did it. Like, I had no idea.
I guess, you know, as long as humans have been counting how as they've been counting time, I suppose.
Yeah, I was like, what calendar the Babylonians using? Like, when were they doing this?
Right?
When was their new year?
I don't know what calendar they were on. They were on probably the, I don't know, who knows?
Babylonian calendar.
They were on the Babylonian calendar and Babylonian time. You know, and I will say, one of the things that I do find interesting is how many people never get the opportunity to learn how to create healthy and appropriate goals and expectations for themselves. Because I know I didn't get taught that because my mother is an overachieving crazy person. And so I'm an overachieving crazy person. And so we both, so it's like, not only do I have myself expecting myself to be a superwoman, I have my mom who's like going to make sure that I never let slip. It's basically one of those things where it's like, I have to, don't slip from what I know you're capable of. Or, you know, it's just like the fact that like my director at work is like, oh, cool, I'm at 100%. He's like, yeah, but is that the best for Jennifer? I mean, I understand everybody else here, you know, that might be their goal, but is that really your goal? So naturally my goal at work for 2017 was 105%. And it's just crap like that.
What's better than 100%?
105%. But that's the thing, is that it's that kind of mentality that we get into. And when you are an effective person or you do a lot of things, and it's just like the expectations, they grow and they grow and they grow. And you have to really just kind of bring it down and be satisfied with the victories and with the things that you're accomplishing on a smaller level. And I think that setting a reasonable goal like you did, Lynn, is like, it's awesome. And you're like, hey, it's achievable. I can achieve this. And that's why they say, what is it? SMART goals. It has to be what? Specific, measurable, achievable,
and
realistic. I don't know how to say that. Realistic and timely.
Yeah.
So the time. Yeah. So that's the thing. Yeah. That's the SMART goal system. If you want to find out how to make a goal, look up SMART goals. That'll be your basis for writing any goal ever. And it'll help you think about goals in the right way, in my opinion.
And I'm going to get a boost with that because one of my friends, it has started her, what is it called? She wants to be a life coach, basically. So she started classes to become a life coach. And she
I
was like,
be a life coach.
She was like, I will give free consultations because I am learning. And I was like, I will come and be your student, senpai.
I volunteer's tribute.
So, you know, I'm helping her with that. And then she's also helping me. So she's always been kind of a source of like inspiration. She's lived a very interesting life. This is a woman whose entire life was able to be packed into 10 bins for a little while. Like, and she was just like a gypsy, like in the term of, you know, moving back and forth, that type of term of gypsy, not a bad term. Forgive me, internet. But send your emails. Just hearing her life experiences is just so interesting because like she would live in people's houses and cook for them. And that was her rent, was her basically being their house marm. It was really interesting.
I need one of those, but to like keep my house tidy.
She would do that too. She would cook and clean for them for rent.
Yeah, I need that arrangement, but I need to be a non-crazy person that I can trust, which is hard to find, surprisingly. Weird people want to rent rooms and
use
on the same. Spoiler alert, Jen still doesn't have a roommate. I think it's funny that like this is a time of year where everybody's like, all right, and I'm going to join the gym, and everybody and their mother is doing gym memberships. So who threw this linky in here? This is really interesting.
I did. I was thinking about it because, I mean, you know, they spike, right? And it's all over the news. And the ad campaigns start coming in. They mail me stuff and I already have a membership. What are you doing?
It's really funny. They emailed me. I talked to somebody. I legitimately wanted to join a gym and they would never call me back. And then all of a sudden they start sending me emails and I was like, hey, give me a call and I would love to talk. And they never call me back. And I'm like, really? Are you sure? Are you sure you want to sell me the service? Because you need to call me to do that.
But yeah, this is an interesting article, and I will also put this in the notes so people can take a look. And it's interesting about the financial aspect of why they and how they do that. And they rely on these memberships where people never go back. And people like gyms that have this big upfront fee. I don't do that. And I signed up at a weird time of year anyway because I'm weird. But...
The same way that they advertise convertibles when the weather turns warm, they advertise gym memberships at New Year's and before New Year's and as a holiday gift.
Like, oh, and every weight loss program ever has their, like,
oh, it's the best time ever.
Did you just eat too much? Yes, I did. I'm going to run right to the gym. Actually, I was really surprised, though, that... like I was saying, people actually like the upfront big drop money on it memberships because they think it's going to make them be committed to it.
Spending money on it does nothing. Yeah, now, me personally...
It's huge.
I won't go.
Try to make myself go. It's hard sometimes. Today I was having a rough time with a bunch of stuff, and things were too easy to use for excuses, and I knew I was making excuses, and then I was just starting to feel crappy, and I was like, I will feel better. I know I will physically feel better if I go to the gym and work out, and I still couldn't make myself do it.
So I started back up with the same fitness classes that I was doing before. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a unique setup. It's basically, there's these multiple locations around here in Tucson. And this whole thing was started by this guy who had a really interesting life. He was basically like in prison and not in really in good communication with his son, and like was doing coke or other drugs before he went into prison. Basically like nowhere, going absolutely nowhere with his life. And he decided that he was going to change that, and he got very healthy, and he focuses very much on his health. And, but it's not just the exercise portion, but that's what he did, is he started this program where he started teaching a class, and then that got bigger. And now people that are in the classes, it's huge. It's huge now in Tucson. They have like 20 locations, and you go 3 days a week. But the thing is, the thing that works for me is that my coach, it's really funny because like they just changed their name. They used to be called Brown's Bootcamp. Now they're called Soul Fitness. And it's really funny because my manager was like, oh, so you're back at Brown's again. She's like, yeah. I was like, well, they're Soul Fitness now. And she's like, yeah. She's like, I saw their new commercial. It looks kind of like it's a cult. And I was like, yeah, it's a kind of, because it really is. Like whenever I'm going, I feel so just jacked into the program. And when people, because what I find really interesting, and this is something I wanted to make sure to mention, do you guys ever find that, like, you have, like, friends and family where when you first start doing something, like, oh, yeah, that's so awesome, you're doing so good. But then as you continue to do well, they're kind of like, they got to come up with reasons why what you're doing must be unhealthy, maybe you're not. And all of a sudden there's, like, all these other things, like, oh, but are you spending enough time doing other things you need to be focused on? It's like they start to find these ways where maybe, and I don't know if it's them. My opinion is I think it's them reflecting on themselves, but I find it really interesting because that's kind of how I feel every time when I was going to boot camp before, is I'd be like, yeah, well, I can't eat that because I'm focusing on this and my health is more important to me right now than eating that cupcake, even though it looks very delicious. But that whole like, oh, but just have like one, just like, it's okay. Just have half of it. It's fine. You're trying too hard. You're pushing too much. You're asking too much of yourself. There's all that
it's
weirdness
guilt
there.
Displacement. They right. don't want to eat in front of you, and then they have to put pressure on, or maybe just the temptation of, you know, wanting to overcome that when you see somebody excited about something. I mean, people think it's in our nature, which is, it's kind of yucky.
Yeah.
But I will say, I did go to the gym last week, and I was shocked. Because it was the first week of the year, I thought it was going to be packed in there.
Like freezing, yeah.
I made myself go, even though I was like, oh, it's going to be packed. I'm like, what if I can't get on a treadmill? And my neck and shoulder hurt really bad, so I knew I couldn't do weight training. But I wanted to go, and I was like, another. I'll get the blood going. It'll help heal up my neck. And it was not busy. Yeah.
Interesting.
That was...
Yeah, so I, well, I had
Maybe
my first
too
class.
Soon if the new year. I don't know.
Maybe. Was it a Tuesday?
Tuesday or Wednesday?
But see, like, the reason it works for me is because literally if I'm not on time and I haven't told my coach that I'm not going to be there, she will call me. She'll hold class. Like, because we're outside and there's, like, there's your team. And if you don't show up, she will literally call me and be like, okay, where are you?
I can cope with that. I need it. Gym buddies.
I want it. Want that. And I need it.
And it, they mm-hmm. need it, and it helps them yep. either pass the time or be accountable. I don't know. I don't. Like, I might go with Dina has, Big Mama D has a silver membership at Planet Fitness, so she could take a guest. And so when I go visit her now and again, she's like, we can go to the gym. I was like, that sounds really good. Except, I don't know. I mean, I ran into someone I knew at the gym a couple weeks ago, and I was like, it was weird. I felt weird. Like, I don't want to be seen. I'm good with strangers.
Yeah. See, that's how my mom is. My mom wants to, like, hide. She doesn't want anybody to know she's doing a diet. She doesn't want anybody, because she's afraid that they're going to comment on it. She wants nobody to say anything. Like, the only thing I can sometimes get away with is if I wrap it up like I'm trying to get more information for myself, and then she'll lecture me till Kingdom Come, and I'll get to figure out exactly what she's doing. But other than that, she wants
hiding. I just...
If you even insinuate, no, I'm going, mom is that social. She's crazy. She's crazy about it. But see, to me, I like need people to like be there with me. Like, I like it because it's a team and we're all doing stuff together. Like, we did our time. We did the fitness test yesterday. So it was like, how many, it's like, welcome back to it. It was like, how many push-ups you can do in a minute, how many bicycles in a minute. And then you do the mile and you time it. And at the end, everybody who's already finished their mile comes back and meets you while you're finishing, and then comes back in with you. Like, it's a team thing. Everybody works together. And as long as, and the idea is that we all might be at different fitness levels, but if we're all putting in our best effort, you know, that's the idea. And again, I sound like I'm talking for like this thing that's like a cult. It kind of is, but it makes me feel really good. And I'm really happy to be doing it again. And, but the thing that irritates me is, yet again, I'm starting it at the beginning of the year, and everybody's like, oh, your New Year's resolution to work out. We'll see how long that lasts. It's like, no, it just happens to be right now. Like, it was a birthday present to me, someone, which means that I have it now. That's the only reason.
Yeah. You just get to prove them wrong. That's all.
That's right. Basically, that's the answer.
It's the thing of spite.
You get the job from the coach to call the people that don't show up. Say, yeah, it's June. Yeah. Where are you?
Hey, I'm still here. Hey, right?
Fruit basket of spite. So I have a story. At Christmas time, my aunt and uncle were like, we're not going to get presents for the adults this year. And I was like, fine, whatever. They do that every so often. But they decided that their son, who it has Asperger's, who's 21, is an adult this year. They decided that. So they weren't going to get him a present. And I said, oh, hell no. And I went, I got them all presents. Plus, like, a gift card for, like, a really nice dinner for my aunt and uncle. And so my mom comes back, and she was like, they got you a fruit basket. And I was like, a fruit basket? And she was like, yeah. I think they felt guilty that they didn't get you anything. And my husband turned to me and said, look what your spite got us, a fruit basket of smite. And I was just like, that fruit's delicious. I don't care. It's our fruit basket of spite. So that's our thing.
Please make that the show title this week, fruit basket of spite.
Nailed it.
Somebody write that down. Yeah, okay, so that being said, we have kind of talked a little bit about the fact that maybe if we don't do it necessarily as New Year's resolutions, we do kind of set intentions for ourselves and then like do it in different ways. Do you guys ever use like apps or technology to help with that?
I used to use, it was a fitness app that you used at the gym. And it was like a game, it's almost like a game system where you got points and you leveled up. God, what was it called?
I used one that's similar called Habitica, but that was to basically establish habits. And it's like, which they've updated their site, by the way. It's actually really nice looking.
Obviously, I haven't used it in a long time because I don't remember. But yeah, it's just... When I was at the gym and I was having to log everything while I was like working out, it actually got just really fiddly, and I actually didn't like it after a while.
It has to be natural. That's why I'm so stoked. So my old Fitbit broke, so I went and bought myself the newer model of it. And the only reason I did is because Fitbit was like, hey, you owned a Fitbit before. Maybe you need a new one. Mm-hmm. Do you want $50 off? And I'm like, I do.
Yes.
I was going to buy one. I will go buy this now. Thank you. And the nice thing is that this
it was called Fidocracy.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Good.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No. I'm glad it came to you. I don't know about you, but I would have been freaking out until the end of the day if I couldn't figure out like what it was. But I got my Fitbit and it automatically, I have to track my food. It's an important part of like with, I've worked with clinical, like actual nutritionists, actual doctors specifically who have worked with me on my particular eating habits because I don't eat 14 donuts a day to keep the shape. I just have a really crappy metabolism and other things. So I have to eat very particularly. And so that means I have to track what I eat. And when I'm actually doing that, I use my Fitness Pal is my favorite just because it links directly with my Fitbit. So I just wear my Fitbit and my exercise gets logged automatically and I don't have to deal with any of that. And like yesterday I was like, okay, my workout started. And then when my workout ended, I clicked another button and it was like, hey, this is how many calories you burned at that time and rock on. And then like an hour later when I was like home and I was tracking what I was eating for dinner, my pal was like, oh, hey, look, this is how many calories you burned according to your Fitbit. And I'm like, yes, everything is easy and my life is easy. And I agree, because if it's too complicated, you're never going to use it.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be complicated. Like, at the end of the day, it's got to be simple.
Yeah. I was using Habitica for a little while, and that's the closest I would get to a social
aspect. It got too tedious.
Because, well, yeah, and we weren't grouping up, we weren't coordinating, and, like, that's, when you're gamifying Habitica, like, you get little, you can buy armor, and you earn things for doing the habits, the goals you set, and then you can have little boss fights against, you know, PMS, basically, and shit, but it's like... You and Loon and I were Gil, Jen, and
nobody. I actually logged into my account the other day.
Consistent way, so that I deleted it the other day again. I'm like, I'm not using it. I'm not going to use it. I mean, that's. I'm not going to go to the gym and work out with someone. But that was a way to gamify it that I did kind of like. But we didn't have enough people for it to be working for me. I am using Quickbit presently. Yes. Oh, you can't see
so
that.
Bright. So yeah. Bright. my eyeballs.
Quitbit is an app on my phone. I'm tracking like how many when I go smoke. And my husband has just logging it, he realized how much he was smoking. Because me telling him didn't work. He was like well over a pack a day and he's down to like 10 or 12 a day. And good. Most of it's just been the keeping track. I'm at like 4 or 5 a day, but that's kind of not new for me. Sometimes I forget to, sometimes 1 or 2, sometimes 6 or 7 if I'm drinking, you know? So,
when I was a smoker, I was the same way. Mm-hmm. I was never a pack a day or half a pack a day person. It was just like, all right, a couple a day.
You can set goals. You can look back at your last 7 days. It gives you a bar graph. You can look at the time so you can see if you've got a pattern. But real simple because you just open it up and there's a button that says light up and you just push the button when you light up. So I use that and the phone, or not the phone, the watch. I have the iWatch.
Oh yeah.
And the whole closing the circles thing.
Oh my gosh. Well, remember, we had the Rambos on and they're all about closing their circles.
And I'm not as good as the Rambos are, but I can see why it would work. Once you start, and it does automatically track, you don't have to fart around with it much. I do have to start if I'm actually going to work out, or it doesn't measure properly. But it's got indoor-outdoor walk, and it's just a couple clicks to, like, open-ended start-stop. But once you do start closing rings, it's like, hey, do you know you closed your ring, like, twice last week? Maybe you do it one more, and then they'll give you a badge. And it just, it pops up, and so much of it is automatic. I mean... the standing up 12 times a day and the calories you burn in a day is just there all the time. And I can see if I'm getting close, I might do a little more. If I'm burning a lot more calories every day, it'll like, hey, do you want to up this? I'm like, no. But
I was using my Fitbit last week and I realized that Fitbit like tells you like the time you're sedentary, like how long, like your longest periods of time that you basically just sat on your ass. And I was like, holy shit, I was at work and I literally was on my ass and did not even make a step for an hour and 47 minutes. And I was like, holy shit, that is horribly unhealthy. Like for your heart, it's just, that's terrible. And it's like with my job, that's one of the reasons that I have to be moving. So one of the things that I have my Fitbit set up to do is I have to do 250 steps an hour. And so if I haven't done any steps that hour, or if I'm, you know, haven't hit my 250, my Fitbit buzzes is like, hey, you have 10 minutes, go take a walk. But the nice thing is it encourages me to, okay, so I'll stand up. I have a wireless headset and I usually walk around when I'm talking to clients anyway, but I'll force myself to be like, hey, all right, you know, hey, let's do it. But yeah, so I think it's just about, like you said, finding the right tools, finding things that fit what's easy for you. I'm all about it.
I'm going to try and get my friend Kelly to start going back on poke walks again, because that was a way for us to kind of get out and, you know, at least on the weekends when we had the time, and just, you know, go out and chat and walk around and catch Pokemon. So.
Oh, I know. And I have like an active Pokemon raid group around here, and we had that little problem with Time fucking Warner / Spectrum. So we didn't have Wi-Fi in my house for 2 or 3 days and ate up all my data.
I was literally firebomb places at that
point. So like I got the message today, like, it's the 9th, god damn it, we didn't make it. I had to charge an extra $15 to tack some more data on my plan. We didn't make it to the 13th, and we never go over unless some shit like this happens. So I'm like, and my raid team, and they're waiting, they're like, come on September, they're tagging me, and I'm like, I can't use the data. I can't have Groudon.
Oh my goodness. Well, any final thoughts about resolutions, ladies? Anything else that you feel?
If it works for you, go ahead and do that. But don't get discouraged if you don't make it. Just set another goal that you can achieve.
Yeah. You know, it's, oh gosh, I love that. Linda, what are your final thoughts on resolutions?
Make it achievable. That's all I can suggest is, you know, don't be like, I'm going to lose 50 pounds in a month. No, you're not. It's going to be really unhealthy. So make it,
you know, and you're going to gain 75 pounds the 6 months after that.
Yeah.
And you can go back to our crazy diets episode if you ever want
to. Yeah. Cotton
balls. Mm-hmm. Yum. I think it's really awesome. You guys both kind of said something that reminds me of one of my favorite ideas, which is we're not going for perfection. You're just going for your best effort. Mm-hmm. And if it's your best effort, it's your best effort. And sometimes your best effort is, yep, today I sucked. And that's okay. According, you know, I'm human. And if you're going to go for perfection, you're never going to get anywhere, because it's just not the right mindset. So I know, definitely. Well, if you have anything you'd like to say, you'd like to chime in, you can email us at geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577. So, Grills, what are you looking forward to? What are you most anticipating, Linda?
I'm being a super nerd. The very first official game of the Garden of Destiny's LARP is this weekend, and I am going to go play my 1920s, 30s-esque singer character.
God, that will be so fun. It's like one of my favorite eras, sorry.
Which is why I did the half moon nails, and I have bought myself a flapper dress. I have a fur coat. It's fake fur. And that's why I was making a robe, is because apparently I need a robe with fur trim. Because I'm a crazy person.
One of my favorite parts of LARP, though, is the costume. I think it's half the fun.
I've been prepping so much this week. I've been driving myself banana cakes, but it's going to be worth it, because I am literally in a group of my friends. We have made ourselves a Facebook group called Year One Extra AF. The extra stuff. So this is us doing costuming and just, like, I'm going to have, like, full 20s smoky eye makeup. It's going to be amazing. I'm so looking forward to it. I have never been more looking forward to going off and freezing my ass off outside than ever.
That's super
great. That's awesome. No, I'd say I love it. I miss LARP. There's like no LARP here and it makes me sad. I miss it.
We have so many now.
I know, and there's 18 different orcs to pick from.
Yeah.
It's not just Obi-Wan for me anymore. Ember, what about you? What are you anticipating these days?
Well, Thursday there's a tap takeover by Cabarrus Brewing at the Wine Maestro downtown, and we got a gift certificate for Christmas from the lead singer in my husband's band, so I think we're going to go do that. Have a little mini date, because, well, we're not... We need those. Haven't been getting enough of those. And then, of course, recording Part-Time Gamers Thursday night, right after going and drinking a bunch of beer. So...
don't miss that episode, everyone. Catch that one.
We're going to talk about Worms WND while Ember's been drunk.
Oh, my God.
We're adding a local to our Sunday night D&D game that Bizzle streams sometimes. We're adding him next week. He came over last week. He's kind of never did the computer stuff before, so we set him up here with a laptop. So he's coming to our house, but gaming with our little international group that plays D&D, and he's a DM. So he's running a second edition game on... Monday nights. So I was like, oh, well, it's a good thing we moved the Grills recording to Tuesdays, because Monday nights, now I've got this D&D game. I think I played second ed for one game ever. So this will be really cool. I can dig the books out of the attic and make characters. And my husband and I are going to, like, go to somebody else's house, and somebody else is going to run the game.
So hooray!
D&D. But... geek stuff.
Yep.
I am planning my staycation at the end of the month. I might actually cheat on my staycation, though. I'm thinking about maybe just doing, like, one night away at, like, a B&B or something. I don't know. Something to kind of, like, break it up. But I took some time off at the end of this month just for me. I don't know, decompress a little bit. I don't know, because I can. No. I feel like I have to keep justifying this time off. Like, I have to, like, there's no reason. I'm not going anywhere. It's not like, am I allowed to just take time for myself? Is that okay? I don't know. I've never done it before. Yes. This is all new to me.
It's called mental health days. Everyone needs them.
And I end up using all of those when random flus and bronchitis and crap last year. At the beginning of last year, I had, like, 2 weeks that I missed practically at two different times because of, like, bronchitis and horrible infections and all kinds of crap. But so I got my flu shot this year and I didn't get as sick. It was really nice. But anyway, so I'm looking forward to that, making plans for what I might accomplish or do during that time or not do. I'm going to be streaming some Telltale series of The Walking Dead. We finally caught up. So he watched it from episode 1 through season 7. And then I ended up just buying the season on Amazon because that was apparently the only way that I'm going to be able to get The Walking Dead without having cable. So I paid for the season. So we watched the whole half season. And he's convinced me that I would probably really enjoy the Telltale series. So I'm going to stream some of that when I get a chance. And I'm going to mention it again next week. But on January 18th, I'm going to be on What's Cooking with Jackie Hearn of Diamond Club fame. And it'll be 7 Eastern. It'll be on her Twitch and also on diamondclub.tv. So I'll make sure to share that to everybody so that they can find it. But I am looking forward to having a chit chat with her because Jackie is awesome. Yay. Patrons are cool. If you would like to support us, we would like it if you would support us. We are wholly supported by you patrons. You are bosses on the internet. If you'd like to become a patron, you can do so at www.patreon.com/grills. And as usual, I just want to say thank you to all of our patrons. And I can't believe some of you have had, starting a new year with us. So again, which is crazy. That's how long. So that's really exciting. Right.
And we love iTunes reviews. They are great. Leaving a review is free, and they help our ranking on iTunes, which can help other people find us find our podcast. You can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you want to help spread the word there. Last week, we did have one by Drowning Moon Studios. I didn't have it. I've got it this week, so I can read it for you. It's lovely. It's a 5-star rating. Geek Grills covers a wide variety of fun and often nerdy topics with lots of humor. Listening to the show is a lot like hanging out with your geeky girlfriends while they riff about something that really interests them, with the occasional guest to add some dimension to the conversation. So thank you very much, Drowning Moon Studios. That was super nice. And
a really accurate representation of what we do.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Delightfully accurate. Oh my gosh. All right. Where can we find you on the interwebs? Linda, where can the folks find you?
You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast. And you can find me here on Twitch under the name TrueNoob, TRUN00B, where I will be doing lots of crafty streaming with all of the critters. The Pokemon. That's what they're
called. For our audio listeners, take a chance to look at this ridiculous creation of amazingness that she has made. It's nuts. It's like they're Pokemon. It's crazy. All right, Amber, where can people
find awesome.
I know, it's so awesome.
And actually, first I'll pimp for Linda. The Glitter Dice ladies are looking for games by female designers and creators. Mm-hmm. So look them up and let them know they want to play some live on their
suggestions of
show.
Games.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah.
Huh. So, thought I'd maybe help you out with that. I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, our next big play is going to be Monster Hearts. We're doing another Glitter Dice plays soon, so we'll be doing that.
I enjoy her podcast, too. I can be reached at 9 of 12. That's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch. And you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast as well.
I'm the Jen. You can find me at the Jen Says on Twitter, streaming at twitch.tv/thejenplays, and other stuff to come. Dun dun dun. So thanks. Dun dun dun. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.